Everyone, welcome back to the podcast. Thank you for being here as always. The audio is really bad because Garrett Elzinga, comedian from Grand Rapids, is currently sleeping in my living room on my futon, and I did not record this intro ahead of time, and I refuse to record it in front of him. Do you understand? So we're going to keep this short and sweet. Hope everyone is doing well. Chris Barrett is on the show today. Chris is a very funny guy that's really working his ass off. I see him all over the place. We had a really fun conversation. He's been through some stuff. Really enjoyed this conversation. And I hope you do too. Please enjoy myself and Chris Barrett.
He's pretty loud too, isn't he, Ronnie?
Yeah, he doesn't. I think he's used to doing, like, you know, places where you have to be loud, and then he just does that everywhere.
Is he? I'm not trying to be. Is he handicapped? I'm not trying to be disrespectful.
Yeah, he has cerebral palsy.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I get him mixed up with somebody else for some reason, like another newish comic. How is Ronnie? Pretty funny. Pretty good.
Yeah, he's.
What if you were just like, no, and I had to take it out?
Oh, you're recording already?
Yeah.
He's the best person. I love him more than anything. Everybody's great. I love everybody. No.
So when you walked in here, I was concerned that my apartment smelled because I told you I'm a single guy. So I always worry about that.
Yeah.
You told me you have six cats.
Six cats, two dogs, a hedgehog, and a bearded dragon.
Yeah. And where this is not an apartment, right?
No, this is a house. It's a house. Thank God. Well, we did have an apartment.
It's a lot of pet fees.
Yeah.
I wonder if my place allows bearded dragons. I highly doubt it.
You ever asked them? Like, how do you feel about bearded dragons?
Yeah. They don't move fast. They can't chase anybody. They're like big lizards, right?
The thing just pretty much chills in its little container and eats. And it's content with life, you know? So. Wow. Those are easy to deal with, you know.
How let me ask you, how does one come to the conclusion that they want to get a bearded dragon?
I think it was my son. My son, he...
Okay, I didn't know you have a kid. Okay.
Yeah. I got a 16-year-old boy and a 12-year-old girl, Robin and Emily.
Wow. How old are you?
40.
Yeah, I'm a couple of years. I got a couple of years on you. Yeah. You said 40 like you were upset about it.
Yeah, well, no, like... I don't know. Well, you know, you probably know how it is. Like, there's a lot of younger people in the scene and everything, you know? So
the only
like,
thing that doesn't make me weird about that, though, is the fact that I've been around since I was 28.
Okay.
So that's the only thing that doesn't make me feel too weird. I'm 42 now.
You were around when you were younger, too.
Yeah.
And, okay.
I would feel weird if I was, not saying you, but if I was newish.
Yeah.
But I've just kind of been doing this. I'm, you know, I've said it before, but like comedians are just, we're kind of all lumped together. You don't really look at age, race, you know, any of that stuff. Right. You know what I mean?
It's how we always say for audience members, you say civilians. So it's really like a mafia type thing, right?
Do you say civilians?
I've heard a lot of people say civilians.
I hate it.
I hate it.
Well, because it makes it sound, you served in the military, didn't you?
Yeah.
So you should be using the civilian correctly. You know what I mean?
I say civilians to all of you.
It's kind of disrespectful and weird if you say it as a comedian. I don't say like, I don't know what I would say, but I definitely don't use civilians because
I do see it as kind of like
very pretentious.
I can see that a little bit. You know what I mean? Because it's, if you're a comedian, you have like an understanding of each other. Like you're kind of saying, it doesn't matter how old you are, what race, whatever, you've all kind of had that experience.
Yes.
You know, except for like the new people, obviously, but like, yeah. And the new thing, I am technically new. I've only been here in Michigan doing comedy for like 2 years.
Yeah, but you're getting up a lot. I see that. You're all over the place.
Yeah. I did.
Welcome to the first 2 years. Let's see what's going on in 3 years from now. You know what I mean? Where you're like me and I have a fundraiser show tonight and I'm like, or this afternoon. And I'm like, I really don't want to go. I'll feel differently once I arrive.
Right.
It's the act of going there. And then, you know, I'm going up like second to last. It's like, it's all of that. It's like, just put me on the stage and get me the fuck out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I started in Germany, actually, doing stand up in Frankfurt.
Really?
Yeah. we'd started to decide at around that time that we kind of wanted to move back to America. So I lived in Germany for 12 years. I should probably say that.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Okay.
I went there with the military. I got out of the army after Iraq. I met my wife 2 weeks after getting back from Iraq. And then we just...
Oh, that's amazing. That's like a nice present, right?
Yeah.
you're served all this time. Here's a wife. You know? Yeah.
Well, it was funny because like I didn't expect anything and I knew it was like all messed up and stuff. So... meeting her and hanging out with her, it was like, I know I'm probably not going to get anything from this woman anyway. Yeah. So I'm just going to hang out, have a good time. Yeah. And then later on, she was like, I just thought it was really cool that you just wanted to have a good time. I'm like, wow, that worked.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah.
She's like, every other dude comes up to me and is like, hey, lady, yeah. Come with me to my house.
Yeah.
But
she's very nice. I met her at the show that we, she kind of just hung out with us. And yeah,
she's very nice in person. When she meets people
wait a minute.
At home. Well, oh. No.
Is she the one that you call the bearded dragon? Is that what's happening? No. It's not a lizard. Yeah. It's a
she has, that's her personality. Yes. Yeah. It matches her personality. No, the reason, I guess going back to the animal thing is like every time, that's how she kind of processes some of her feelings. I think something she's feeling bad. She's like, let's get a cat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So she feels bad a lot.
I would never know. She never tells me about it. She's just like, hey, I saw this kitten.
By the end, you're going to have like 16 cats. And she's like, well, it's this or a divorce. You figure it out. So
we, after a big fight, I'm like, she's like, I'm getting a cat. I'm like, oh, I need to maybe do something to fix this.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So how long did you say you've been married for with her?
It's going to be 18 years.
That's fucking great, dude. Congratulations. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's rough. It's a thing to do, I guess. I don't know.
It's work. Nothing you really want is going to be easy. So if you want to be married with someone, this you should take it from me. I'm a single guy that's ever been married. But you know, from what I hear, you know, like if people, I make fun of when people say it's work. Like I used to do a joke about it where someone was like, I would talk to my couple friends that are married and I'd be like, so what is it like? And they're like, well, it's work. And I'm like, nah, I already have a job. Like that was like, yeah. Like I used to do, you know, but it is anything you want, you really want or want to keep is going to take work, you know?
Right.
I mean,
especially if you're around somebody so often, you know, you get to know them so well and then you get comfortable and then this kind of complacency comes in to where you're just like, all of a sudden you're just there,
yeah.
You know, with the person to try to keep things fresh and keep it like interesting for the other person, you know? Germans are pretty easy though. They're kind of like social cactuses.
She's German?
She's 100% German. Like, okay. Yeah. They're like social cactuses basically, you know? So that makes it a little bit easier.
They seem laid back, very laid back. Yeah.
They don't need a whole lot of social interaction.
Yeah.
And
you're Jewish, right? I'm kidding.
No, that's it. That would be interesting. That would be interesting.
I want to go back to the civilian thing real quick because, and you served, so that's the thing. So I wonder, like, I'm a big sports fan. They always compare, like, we're in the trenches, you know?
Yeah.
It's a war out there. I fucking hate that stuff. I've never even served.
Right.
I hate that. Like, I know what they mean,
yeah.
But like, you can come up with some better words. Like, battle's fine, battle's good.
Yeah.
You know, like, what does that irritate you as like a veteran?
I don't know. When I got out, I kind of threw most of my stuff away and was like, I don't want anything to do with this anymore.
Oh, wow, okay.
So I didn't even like associate myself at all really with it.
Yeah.
And in Germany, it was really easy because nobody cares, you know, that you're in the military over there, you know, and here it's obviously a lot different.
Yeah.
You know, you see your veteran and it's like, it doesn't matter who the person is. They're like, hey, you're in your service, you know, even.
Right. Right.
Which I think that's evolving a little bit too, which is interesting, but I mean, that's like, I never really wanted to have any of that, you know?
You just let me do my job and I'm done.
Yeah. Like I didn't make it a part of my personality. Some dudes like they do.
I kind of do love that. Let me ask you this. Well, why are people like, you ever see the guy in the uniform and he's been home for 10 days? You're like,
I think they don't have, it's what some people do. They don't have anything other interesting about their life.
Yeah.
So that becomes their life.
Yeah,
should I be closer?
No, you're good. That's the problem is like, that's the thing that as a comedian, I just laugh about it. Of course. And it's like, you know, I feel like in a way, it's like, do you want the attention? Like, if you're getting off the plane, fine. I get it, right? I get it. But if you've been home for like 4 days, you're like, let me put these back on to go to Taco Bell. I mean, it's a way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, like, it's ridiculous that, I mean, I guess when I was in, like, when I just got out of training, they, right when the brainwashing was fresh.
Yeah.
I was like that, like, I'm in the army. Yeah. I'm an army guy. But like I said, as I got out, like just from the experience, like I was only in for 3 years, like 6 months training, 1 year Iraq, the other year of like trying to recover from Iraq. It was like, I didn't do a whole lot. And my experience was just like training in Iraq and it sucked. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I don't want to be involved with this ever again. You know, like I didn't really think about it when I signed up.
Yeah.
It only took like 6 weeks from me like getting contacted by a recruiter.
Yeah.
To where I was on a plane going to the, you know, basic training. I was just like, oh, I really didn't think about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a war going on right now.
What made you want to do it? I don't know. I've always been curious about people that are like, I think the problem with like some of the military, I think they prey upon people sometimes.
Yeah.
As people are trying to find themselves, you know, and that's when they go, hey, you see the commercials. You're like, is it like that? I mean, is it really, you know?
No. I dropped out. Well, I didn't drop out of high school. I failed because I had too many absences. Mm-hmm. So I passed all my classes, you know, with tests and homework and everything. But because I had too many absences, they're like, you get no credit. That doesn't make sense. You did what you were supposed to do. I did what I was supposed to do just because I wasn't there half the time. And that was kind of the thing. I kind of got tricked into it. You know, the guy was like, yeah, we'll get you a GED and then you get college money. You know, you get great training.
Sure.
And they never tell you about
what happens afterwards.
Yeah. And I didn't even think about Iraq at the time. I don't know. I guess it wasn't in the news as much. Like 2003. So Bush had his thing. I kind of do a joke about it. Like Bush had his like little picture where it says mission accomplished and everything already. So I wasn't even thinking about war or anything. And the guys assured me, they're like, you're a mechanic. You're never going to see war. You're just going to be working on trucks.
Yeah, sure.
You know? And then literally, you know, what was it?
You
8 months later or whatever, I'm in Iraq.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, they lied.
Yeah.
But, I don't know that to me, I didn't want to make that part of me. Like, you know,
but had you not gone to Germany,
right? I would never have met the wife, never have had the kids, never have had to, deal with German people.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things that we have said a few times where I'm like, well, you know, it sucked what I had to do, but at the same time I did get to meet you. And she's like, oh, go to the store, buy some stuff.
Sure. And her German. Yeah, that's very funny.
You and your feelings get out of here. Go to the store. Buy some things.
She does not talk like that. No,
she doesn't.
But that's really
funny.
It's
extremely exaggerated. But, But yeah. Germany. That's where I started doing comedy.
So what made you want to start doing stand-up in Germany? And how is doing stand-up in Germany? That's got to be odd.
I don't know. I've always, you know, just had fun and, you know, been one of the people are like, oh, you're a funny guy. You should do stand up or whatever.
You were the boy, like the boys loved hanging out
in the smoke room, you know, making the jokes. And they're like, oh, you should do stand up.
Yeah.
But, I randomly found, an open mic and it was in English in Frankfurt.
Oh, wow.
And, because they have a lot of colleges, universities in Frankfurt.
How old were you at this point?
Was this 2014 or something?
Okay. Oh, wow. So not too long. Okay. So
10 years ago, maybe. Okay. And, I just randomly showed up and I was surprised there was an actual audience, like real people.
Yeah.
And they insane because there's not a lot of comedians. They give you like 10 to 15 minutes as a new comedian.
Wow.
Yeah. Which
is there a lot of comics there? Is that?
No, there was really, well, at the time from what I've heard now from people that I know that are still over there, it's gotten a lot bigger. There's a lot more like producers and more shows and stuff. But at the time there was like, I think 2 shows in English and maybe only 13, 14 comedians.
Wow.
So you'd only have maybe 2 or 3 opportunities to get on stage a month, but it would be like 10 to 15 minutes every time. So, And we had one producer, so I didn't have to learn about, you know,
so weird
getting booked or, you know, like making connections and all that. I didn't know any of that stuff.
I think they do that to test your self-awareness as a comic, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine doing that here, but I mean, there are shows that do it, but like just to be like, you're brand new, here's 15 out of the gate. We want to see when you decide to get off.
Yeah, when you... And then you see those new ones that get up and you're like, I get 7 minutes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Tell all their jokes in 2 minutes and go, I am using the entire 7 minutes.
Yes. Just, there's nothing wrong with like wrapping it up early. Like even the mic at the showcase, which I still love doing, you know, sometimes I'm done at four and a half. I'm up. The new stuff is, I don't want to do any old stuff. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Right. You did what you came here for. Yeah. You had your goal. You came, you had those jokes you wanted to tell. You told them. All right. See you guys later.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it that new way sometimes.
So how did you do?
Oh, I was horrible. Because, yeah, of course, you know.
Did you do the impression of your future wife?
I did a... I did a story about a misunderstanding I had in Germany. I was having heart issues.
Mm.
And I went to a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And I checked myself in. Got in the room with the doctor, told them my issues in German, because at the time I could speak and read, you know, a little German.
Yeah.
And the German doctor just said to me, this doesn't sound like a psychological problem. It just sounds like you need to go and see like, you know, a medical doctor.
Oh, wow.
And then I realized it was like a psychiatric hospital right next to the regular medical center. So I checked myself into a psychiatric hospital.
Oh my God, no.
Yes.
And you realize this afterwards?
Yes, I realized. Yeah. Well, as she said to me, does it sound like a psychological problem? As they're putting the straitjacket on me, they're like, yeah, this doesn't sound psychological.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was like one of the things I tried to tell. And obviously as a new person and there especially, there was not a lot of, you know, comedians that have been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
So nobody really to look at. That was like one of the things I tried. And then you realize that the first time you do it, you're like, oh, this is completely different than what I thought.
Yeah.
It was, you know?
Also, it's so different to start something in another country.
Yeah.
Because stand-up comedy is way different over here. So yes. you're not even getting the gist of what you're going to be doing, you know?
Right. So that was I think that was one of the cool things or one of the good things about it was that we didn't have anybody to look up to. We didn't see anybody that, it, you know, had more experience. So it was just like all of us just throwing stuff at the wall, trying to figure it out. So I feel like we all found unique ways to write and unique ways to do things just because we didn't know what we were doing. We're just doing random stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that came once I started doing it here, I started noticing some patterns of stuff, you know, like, oh, people, you know, they kind of have patterns and stuff that they do when they write jokes. Yeah. And
when they get the light, they don't care.
Right.
They think they're in Germany. They're in 15 minutes, no matter what.
It's interesting. But yeah, so I had about a 5-year break in between there. When I moved here, I had to get, you know, we came here with 5 boxes and our suitcases.
Okay.
No jobs, just some money. And so we built everything up. And then a buddy of mine, Mike Saliba, I don't know if you ever met him before. Mm-mm. He's the Libertarian Party of Michigan's president, I think.
Okay.
But he's like, yeah, there's an open mic at Grasha Pub. You should come check it out.
Yeah.
So I went with him and I'm like, all right, I'm going to do my solid set from Germany. It's going to kill at Grasha Pub. And I did it and I was so nervous because I hadn't done it in a while and bombed so bad. I thought, considered like, what was all that stuff I did in Germany? Was that real?
Right.
Oh. Wait, was I really getting laughs? Was that all like what happened? What is the disconnect here? But I just realized that Germans liked really dark, weird stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I used to be able to say a bunch of crazy stuff. And I think a lot of people just got used to who I was because it was a lot of the same people that were showing up.
Mm-hmm.
So I got away with a lot of stuff.
I think that's catching on over here, though. There's a lot of dark comics over here now, too, you know?
Yeah, it's my humor. I think I try to find a way to do it.
Especially from what you've been through and what you've come from, of course.
Yeah.
How's your heart now? Is your heart okay now?
Mm-hmm.
Did they figure out what it was?
Yeah, stress. Apparently, if you go to a war and you and you get mortared every day with bombs and you think you're going to die every day, it puts a little stress on you.
Yeah.
But I didn't know that. And it took me a long time. Actually, I didn't really.
Do you get mad when other comics talk about bombing? You're like, you don't know what that means.
Yeah. It's like, you don't know what bombing really is. No, the interesting thing is an interesting thing. I was on one of the bases I was on. They had Pizza Hut and they had Burger King.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they had contracted like Pizza Hut and Burger King in like a little trailer. It was an actual Burger King and Pizza Hut. But you can also get mortared at the same time.
Oh, my. Oh, mortared while eating pizza.
Yes.
The best thing of all time and then the worst thing of all time. Yes. Yeah, happening at once. Yeah.
So you had like sometimes you would have like these little comforts.
I'll be honest with you, Chris. I wouldn't mind going out that way. Just a slice in my hand. I'm fine with it. You know?
Pizza. You're just stuffing it in your mouth as fast as you can. You're like, take me now, Jesus. Dude, that's... But just the dichotomy of that, it was insane. I got a picture I could show you later of like these walls that they put up to block blasts and stuff. A Humvee, the desert, and then you just see this Pizza Hut and Burger King sign.
Wow.
And it just seems insane to me. But that's kind of what that whole war was like. Like
Jesus. Well, I'd like to say thank you for doing that, because I would not be able to do it. You know what I mean? I admire people like you that put their lives in the line. Even if, you know, even if at the time you don't really know, you know, mm-hmm. you're like, hey, I just want to do something. And
I still don't know.
Yeah, sure.
I still don't know what I did. That's one of the biggest problems I think coming out is like, you don't know, like, what should I be proud of? I don't even know what I did. Like, I literally, I guess that's like another joke I've been doing lately, more talking about. Like, I was high on cough syrup and stuff, Iraq, huffing air duster and stuff.
I can't blame you. You got to get through it, man.
Yeah. And I don't know what I really did, you know?
Right.
And so, and since they pulled out of Iraq and it's still messed up, it's like, you know, what did we really do there? Like,
sure, sure.
It's just a bunch of people die and, you know, like.
War is just, it's so unnecessary and it's so sad.
Yeah,
that humans just can't just enjoy their life and you know, just let everybody be and just live in peace. This is such a the fact that there's two wars going on right now. This is like an 1800s thing.
Yes.
I'm like, we're still doing this.
Yes.
It's so stupid. Like, if you just sit back and think about it, a lot of people have lost their lives for no reason.
Absolutely for no reason.
And guess what? You get one. You get one life.
Yeah.
I'm watching, not to compare this to actual war, but I'm watching Shogun right now, which is kind of there's a lot of accuracy, a lot of historical accuracy. And like Japan, they seem like they didn't give a fuck about life. Like and that's how I feel about like just these wars is like, dude, it's precious. What are you doing?
And a lot of people don't think about it. A lot of the dudes that I know that joined, I mean, most of the people I've talked to that joined, they didn't know why they joined. For whatever reason, it was probably like with me, I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
You know, wasn't going anywhere. Shitty job, you know.
Not a lot of 30, 35 year old people going, you know what, I'm going to sign up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's mostly young people who don't know what they're doing.
Yes. Poor. Most of them.
Yeah. And then they get there and they're like, oh, wow, I can't get out of this because you sign a contract basically that says, go to war or go to jail, or you have to say that, you know, you're a conscientious objector and they'll send you to like a mental hospital and they do a bunch of like, you know, and then they kick you out. And that's the other thing too. When they kick you out, they discharge you with like an other than honorable discharge.
Mm.
And that follows you around everywhere. So they're like, if you want to leave here in good standing, then you got to do what we tell you to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't have to kill anybody though, too. So,
well, I'm glad to hear that you didn't have to either.
I didn't have to murder anybody for whatever reason we went there for.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Saddam. That's right. The guy I have on my shirt.
Is that what? Oh, my God. You do. Yeah. Wow. He's got a pink Saddam Hussein shirt. That is hilarious. I thought you were joking for a sec. That's funny.
No, it's, I don't know.
You're like one of the few people that can get away with it, to be honest.
Yeah. I like it. And it's pink.
Yeah.
I was like, when I was choosing the colors, I'm like, pink.
I was in the war. Go fuck yourself. You know? I'm getting these messages. I'm doing this fundraiser show. This will go up afterwards. I'm not really too worried about it. And like the person that's running it is very sweet, very nice, but they just, if you start a show, people, if you have a show, if you book someone on a show, even if it's a fundraiser show, all you have to do is message the person twice, message them to book them, and message them when it gets close to the show. We don't have to, these messages going back and forth is driving me crazy. Yeah. It's a ding, like every day.
Are you almost. Okay? Are you okay?
It's just like yeah.
Clingy just, girlfriend
and,
or boyfriend.
And I don't know how this show's going to go because I don't know. But so now you're getting, what are you doing? What show you got tonight? What do you got going tonight?
Well, I had a show tonight.
Oh, what happened? You want to take my spot at this fundraiser?
Yeah.
What were you doing?
I don't want to say who the booker was, but the guy told me the 25th and they wrote back and said, how about the 11th? I said, okay. And then I wrote a couple days ago. I'm like, you got a flyer I can promote for you or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he was like, yeah, we make the flyer the week of. I'm like, isn't the show Saturday? And then he said, no, I told you the 25th. I went back and I showed him. I'm like, no, you changed it to the 11th. And he goes, oh, my bad. Then he sent me a screenshot, has me on the 18th.
Oh,
and I'm like, dude, yeah. I told you I can't do the 18th. And then and he's like, well, maybe sometime in June.
Yeah.
I got all Saturdays free in June. And at that point, I was kind of like,
hello.
At the point, I was just kind of like, you know what? I think I'm just not gonna.
Yeah, don't even worry about it. Quinn, stop barking. Have you ever been booked on it? You ever been booked on a show? You were notified of it. It's all scheduled. Then the flyer comes out for the show and you're not on the flyer.
Yes.
Doesn't that make me feel like a piece of shit? Like,
yeah.
And you look at the lineup and I mean, for me, because I've been doing this for a while, I look at the lineup. I'm like, I'm one of the best comics on the lineup and you forgot about me?
You forgot to put me on there. Nice.
You know what I mean? But yeah, it's me just being extra sensitive. But
well, no, it's kind of a respect type thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. Sure.
For you, well, maybe it's a narcissist type thing where you're like, I probably need to
both,
a little
both,
to
be honest with
you. Yeah. But I don't know.
Like, I was asking when I got booked for the fundraiser, I was asking, is there a headliner? Because I guess three of us are like doing 20 minutes. And she wasn't sure at that point. And I was waiting for that. It turns out it's now. It's just three of us doing 20 minutes. But I was kind of like, who the fuck is headlining this show? You know what I mean? Like, I swear to God. Because you get in these ruts of like sometimes I was thinking about this morning. I get in these ruts. Sometimes I go, hey man, this is fun. I'm still killing it on stage. I'm getting booked. I'm doing shows. I'm hanging out with my friends, you know, and then you do a show, you know, where you're not this one, but maybe you're opening up for someone that you're like, what the fuck? Really?
Yeah.
And then you think of your friends that are on TV and you're opening up for some guy named Dwayne that's done comedy for a year and a half. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it hurts the ego.
It's just like, I don't, what are we doing? Yeah.
Well, I think I'm only just now getting to the point where I finally figured out you don't have to say yes to everything.
No, you don't.
And you shouldn't say yes to everything. And trying to be a little bit pickier with what I'm doing.
To be fair, this is a page. Quinn, if you don't shut up, I'm going to take you to Chris's house. He has room for you, apparently.
there are many animals to play with.
This is why I'm going to open up the shade so she can see out. I also love that you started late. So 38 you started?
Yeah.
37, 38?
Here.
Yes, here.
So they're
like little, full throttle here. Yeah.
Full throttle here at like 38. So yeah, it's been interesting.
You know who I get you mixed up with first? You don't play guitar and do comedy, do you?
Or I do.
Okay, you do.
Occasionally, yeah.
Okay, I get you mixed up with Andrew McFarlane a little bit. I didn't know. Because did you do Canton Brew Works a lot when it first started?
I did it a few times. Okay. And I think that's the first time I ever saw you.
Okay, that was you. I'm just trying to. Yeah. You guys look entirely different. I don't know why I would get you mixed up. But you ever get people mixed up for some weird reason sometimes?
I'm bad with remembering names and I remember faces of people. So I'll see them. I'll be like, oh, I've talked to that person before, but their name will slip my mind for until I see them like five times or something. Yeah.
And let's be honest, some names should slip your mind. But
true. I get understand a little bit more from the veteran comedians now where they're like, when a new person comes, why they're kind of standoffish. And I didn't get it at first. Oh, why veteran
comedians standoffish, you mean?
Sure. Yeah, like I didn't understand at first. I'm like, why don't you just be cool with people? They're like, you know, half of these people aren't going to be here next week.
Yes.
And a year from now, none of those people are going to be here. And I just started noticing it going to mics right now where I'm like, I don't know a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I feel it's sad. It's a sad feeling. You're like, I'm the only one I know here.
Well, I have.
Do I really even know me? No, I've never heard of
my time. The only one I know here. Wow. It's just you in your bedroom by yourself.
Yeah.
No, but have the veteran comics been nice to you for the most part? Like you've been good?
Yeah, yeah. Like most people have been cool, you know. In the beginning, a little less. I think until
you start coming around more.
Until you start coming around more, and then until, you know.
You think it's the German accent you've been doing? You think maybe that's what it is?
Maybe it's the German accent. Yeah. I did do that. I did do it once where I came walking on, and it was maybe it's a little dumb gag, but I walked up and started my entire set just in German.
Did you do that when you opened for me a month ago? You were doing well. The crowd was really into it, but I was talking to someone. All of a sudden, I just hear a German accent. What is happening?
it's one of the accents you can get away with. Yes, you know what I mean.
How does your wife feel about it?
Well, she knows it's exaggerated. Sure. And
accents are funny. Yeah. They're fun. I don't like when people are like, you're being racist. Dude, black people are doing white people. Like, it's all funny. It's not meant to be racist. It's meant to be fun and funny. If anything, it's probably more respectful than disrespectful. But.
Right. It takes time to do an accent. Like, there's a lot of research involved, you know.
Yeah. What do they say? Isn't it, copying someone is the most. Oh, what do they call it? Imitating someone is the most flattering.
Yeah.
Highest form of flattery.
There you go.
Hey, why can't we do that for a whole nation? If I'm doing an Indian accent, India should love it. I mean,
the entire nation of Indians. The entire nation of India thanks you for your support. Try it tonight.
No, I will not. No.
But yeah, German's one of the ones you can kind of get away with, you know, like because people are just like, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Well, and they're white too. I mean, that helps.
Right. As a white dude, you can go up there. And, well, I stay away from the Nazi stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like an obvious thing. I don't really talk about the Nazi stuff, but, you know, some people bring it up on stage.
It's weird when I see open mic comics doing jokes about Hitler. I'm like, guys. You have to know this has been done 1,000 times. Yeah. Well, or just the comics that are new and they're doing edgy stuff right out of the gate. It's like, well, come on. You're not even skilled enough to even do that yet.
You don't know. You just say like, I bet you when I say you're dick, it's going to be hilarious.
Yes. Yep.
And then you're like, oh no. And then you work years and years and you're like, now I can say dick and it's hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. You work years and years just to say dick.
A well-crafted dick joke.
And some comics we know work years and years to pull out their dick.
Yeah.
I'm actually a fan, so I'm making a joke.
Yeah, I'm a super fan too.
I like Louis a lot, but
it was not okay what he did.
His comedy.
But he's funny.
Yeah. I don't think.
Well, I never really liked his comedy. It was mostly the... No. That'd be a weird take on it.
I've always just thought he was a genius. I've never like been a super fan of his. Like I'll take Bill Burr over Louis.
Yeah.
But I've always thought he was like one of the greats. You can't deny that.
Oh, yeah.
Even though he's done some creepy stuff. But
some of the writing is insane. And the places he takes you.
He's a philosopher in some ways.
Yeah. The places he takes you. And then as a comedian to kind of try to deconstruct where that came from.
Yeah.
It's like, I bet you this joke started out him being like, this little girl's a bitch.
Yeah.
And then it evolves into like this 10-minute bit about his daughter and, you know.
When he came back and things started rolling again for him, I think it was the Comedy Store special that he put out, and it was, you had to buy it. And for the longest time, I was like, I can't do this, you know? And then I was like, but I like comedy.
Yeah.
And he's pretty good at it, you know? And he's not, let's not lump him in with Cosby. People love to do that. And I'm like, okay, two different things. but I also still love listening to Cosby. That's not true. But let's
Bing
go back.
Crosby.
Yeah. I think he beat his kid. I think he beat people. I think he was a domestic. He was a violent man, I think.
Can't like anybody Google
this. I don't want Bing's family to listen to this. And then
they're big fans and they're upset at you right now. They're unsubscribing right as well. It's not live.
Bing Crosby abuse.
How many times does that get Googled every day?
Yeah, said his eldest son Gary said his said he beat him, verbally abused him. Yeah, he's abusive.
According to the Fayetteville Observer,
all right.
In a memoir, eldest son Gary Crosby said Bing beat and verbally abused him and his brothers, and that he cheated on their mother.
I love his stuff though. What is, I always close on this, what is your worst bomb?
Oh, my worst bomb. Oh boy. I have to say in Germany, I'd been performing at a lot of the same places.
Like while doing stand-up or at war?
While doing stand-up. My worst bomb. Okay, I'll tell you both of them. I'll tell you one for the military. Military sleeping at, we were sleeping at night on this base. And they do this with mortars. They call it walking them in. Right. So they'll fire one mortar and then it'll land, and then they gauge where it landed and they adjust and then fire another one.
Fire another one to see where it lands.
Yeah. So they can get closer and closer. So
yeah,
I'm sleeping in this trailer, me and my sergeant, and he's sleeping, and the first mortar wakes me up and it wakes him up, and we hear it getting closer and closer and closer. And then the last one hit so close it shook the trailer.
Yeah.
And then I got up. I was like, hey, man, I think we should get in the bunker.
Yeah.
He's like, wait a minute. If we don't get hit, then you could just go back to bed. I don't think they're shooting anymore.
If you don't die, you can sleep.
Exactly. And that's exactly what he did. He waited, and then he laid back down and went back to sleep. I went outside, smoked a cigarette like,
wow,
like that Ben Affleck meme where he's like holding his head and at the cigarette. I did that for like the next hour. So that was my worst bomb in there. Worst bomb with comedy.
I love there's a literal worst bomb here. It's great.
There was this show they did in Cologne in Germany, where they did English comedy there. Like they only had like one show there or whatever. And my buddy recommended me to go do that show. And I had like, at the time I'd say like a solid 10.
Yeah.
You know, and I was proud of it. And every time I did shows there where, you know, my place that I was always at, my people.
Yeah.
It always did really well. So I was like, oh, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to kill it. I get there, people laughing at like the setup, but not the punchline. Oh, like weird, like laughing at weird stuff. I'm like, am I doing something weird or like what's going on here? And it was probably the worst feeling I had, because I felt like I was on top of the world at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go somewhere else and you're like, oh, this thing is completely different than what I thought it was.
You'll be the first person ever to have two worst bomb stories and a literal worst bomb. Cause I'm asking you for here, what is your worst bomb here?
Here in the States.
Scene here. Yeah. Let's not count an open mic if you don't have to.
Oh boy.
Just a show.
I'd say I didn't do too well at, Stella's. Dan Turco and Colleen DePugno.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't do too well there. I'd say that was probably my for a show.
Yeah.
I'd say that was probably one of the biggest bombs. Like they weren't finding me charming at all. They didn't find anything. I don't know. I start going into like the military stuff and they're like, nah, we don't like military stuff. And I'm like, all right.
That'd be the more interesting stuff if I was in the crowd. You know what I mean?
Or let's talk about my son with autism. And they're like, nah, we don't really want to hear about that
either. This is all interesting topics, by the way.
Right. Yeah. It's like, let's talk about my German wife. They're like, eh. I think they just didn't like me. I just think like the way I came out, they were just like,
that can happen sometimes.
They just looked at me and they're kind of like, eh, fuck this guy.
I'll be honest with you, today's show, I think it's going to happen with every single one of us.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't know. I don't know if they're going to be having food. Are they going to be doing food while we're on? Like there's something to the effect of like serving a real nice meal. Here's the thing. If you're doing comedy and you serve food, the food should be subpar.
So where people are willing to put the fork down and laugh and not just like keep shoveling it into their mouth.
I like what the showcase does. You get nachos, popcorn, drink, shut up. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not going to like, we all love nachos and popcorn, but it's not delicious enough to where you're just,
you can't stop.
Yeah. Where you can't stop. I think that's the perfect thing for a comedy club is like munchies, drinks. If we're doing food, do munchies.
Yes, yes.
I mean, you're only going to be there, do dinner before or afterwards.
Or that.
Yeah, you're only going to be there for an hour and a half anyways. You know?
Right. I think like some of these venues, like they don't want to lose money or whatever. It's like
comedy's the afterthought. It's the food. It's mm-hmm. everything else.
Yeah, we want to sell the food and the drinks, and then whether it's a good show for the people, they don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's those are interesting ones, definitely, with food involved.
Appreciate you doing this.
Thanks you for asking me on.
Yeah, of course. Cool. This is I see that you're like I said, I pay attention that you're all over the place. Like I'm looking at flyers and you're getting up a lot. Yeah, well that's all you can do right now is you're getting up a ton. You're doing more than I am. I'm not getting up right now. Not really. I'm just chilling right now, dude. You know what I mean? Yeah, man. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate what you did, you know.
Whatever that was.
You know what I mean.
I know what you mean, yeah.
That's I love the fact that we need to talk to Louis more about that, but it is interesting to go from one end to the other of like serious business. But also I feel like if you're doing that, if you're in the military, I feel like you have to have a sense of humor, right?
Don't
you?
Oh yeah. I had a sergeant.
It's almost required.
Yeah. I had a sergeant who had a stutter and he called everybody baby girl. I made a song.
God.
Yeah. And I made a song about him. And I made the mistake of playing it in front of some people. And then they were like, no, you guys got to hear this song.
Oh, no.
And then they challenged me with, I'm about to play the song. And he comes in. They're like, do it. And, you know, and I didn't want to look like a pussy. You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
I played it in front of him. And that was the only time he didn't call me baby girl.
Okay.
He took me around.
And that was your worst bomb? That's what we're talking
about. That was my worst bomb.
Did he laugh?
He did not laugh.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But everyone else did.
Oh, yeah. They thought it was hilarious. He took me to the side. He's like,
were they immediately discharged afterwards?
No. I get his point that we were pretty new with these people that we were with. We were pretty new, and he was making his first impression. And that kind of was like making him look like weak or whatever.
Sure.
So, yeah, he made me do lots of push-ups. And then afterwards, he's like, you know, you realize what you did to me and everything like that. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And, you know, I respect you. And then after that, he was like, all right, baby girl. And then went back to.
Wow.
He called everybody baby girl.
That's interesting. What a weird thing to do.
Dude, wow. I wish I had a video of that dude. He was just baby girl.
Oh, my God.
Dude. And he was like a sergeant. He's in charge.
He's an authority. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, buddy. I appreciate it.
Anyway, yeah, thanks.
That's really funny.